Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. Number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest after the top of the hour news is 541-472-1270, and we'll put you on the air live. As soon as you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, you're on. Welcome once again to the Tuesday Talk Show. Brief programming note, it is election day. You need to get your ballots in by 8 o'clock tonight, and we will have probably brief coverage around 7:30 and 8 o'clock. It won't be extended coverage. It is a brief question on the ballot this time. It's either going to be yes or no. So we'll invite you to tune in about 8 o'clock tonight to find out which of those the voters prefer. In the meantime, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. First of all, it's the second Tuesday of the month. That means we have city staff in, and Aaron Kubik leads the way. And Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. I'm glad to have you this morning.
Thanks. Aloha.
Aloha.
I'm wearing my Hawaiian tie.
Are you just back with that ugly tan, that brown stuff?
No. That's just from coaching out on the field.
Okay.
I haven't been to Hawaii, but I am wearing my Aloha Hilo Hatties tie from that I actually got in Lahaina.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Years and years ago.
Yes. I don't have one of those, but I did have the opportunity to dine on that restaurant outside of the Big Banyan Tree.
Oh, yes.
Gorgeous spot, or at least it was, and hopefully will be again. Let's see. Just before we get into today's topics, a couple of nuts and bolts questions, just because you're the nuts and bolts guy. You can tell us yes or no if something's going to happen or not. The city council defeated the amendment to allow the law enforcement levy. Law enforcement utility fee, correct. Now, to make sure, that can be brought back at any time. Is that correct?
It can be. It was originally it passed about a month ago on a 4-3 vote. There was one council member that was absent.
Right.
And so normally the way things work within the city is when you have an ordinance always takes two readings versus a resolution, which isn't quite as impactful as an ordinance versus a proclamation and those kind of things, which is less than a proclamation, just a statement. A resolution is you may be adopting a contract or something. An ordinance usually has something important associated with it, like a change to our municipal code.
Correct.
Or something along those lines. So in order to have a checks and balances, we have a first and a second reading of all of our of those type of ordinances. And if an ordinance is passed unanimously on the first reading, so after we take public comment and all that kind of stuff and council discusses it and a motion is made, if it is unanimous on the first reading, then it goes to the second reading at the same night, and it then passes again potentially with the second reading all in one evening. If the ordinance on the first reading is not unanimous, say you have a 4-3 vote or a 5-2 vote or whatever it is, then there's a pause in the process, and it is then stayed until the next council meeting. And that's what happened in this situation. We did have one council member that was absent for the first reading. That's why we only had 7 votes. It passed 4-3. So we moved on to a second reading. And at the recent council business meeting, we did have all 8 council members present along with the mayor, and the vote came through 4-4. And then the mayor, in a tie when that happens, which doesn't happen often, but when council does come up with a tie, the mayor does have the authority to break that tie with their vote. And so the mayor voted to not pass that ordinance for the second reading. So at this point in time, some of the things that council was saying that evening was that they weren't not necessarily against that as a form of revenue, but they wanted more discussion. They wanted to focus more on process before they went through the implementation of creating the utility fee. And the utility fee itself was just the structure. It was just the skeleton structure.
There was no dollar amount attached.
That's correct. There's no dollar amount. It was just providing us the flexibility to more quickly enact a utility fee if that's where council was wanting to go.
Last week, as a matter of fact, we had Councilors Fazer and Councilors Riker here, which were on each side of the vote, and they're very congenial. But at the same time, both wanted more information and to do more research. And has that fallen back on staff?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we'll ultimately have, and we don't have it scheduled at the moment, but we'll have another workshop to discuss public safety where council can provide us with some additional questions and information so we can get them what they need. We've had multiple discussions about this, and we're still going to have more because that there is an issue there. And we've got our levy coming up in November, that election for the $1.79 per thousand levy. So we are looking still, I think, at potentially a utility fee in the discussion mix, along with a sales tax of some form, whether it be a food or beverage or a full-blown sales tax in the mix for discussion in the future.
All right. We'll be watching that. And in terms of the mayor's veto or the mayor's vote, as a matter of fact, whether it's a veto or not, you're right, it is rare. I only remember three times, and I think that was a second one for Mayor Bristol. I don't remember one before that in the years we've been covering it.
Yeah, veto is much less common.
Even the mayor's vote.
Yeah, but the breaking a tie, it doesn't happen all that often. Yeah.
All right. On to the business of today here. Well, just
certainly.
Because I know that's on everybody's
mind. Glad we can fill that in.
Sure, and we appreciate your locking those nuts and bolts together for
sure.
us. All right. And who did you bring with us today?
Well, I have James introduce himself and the department that he's with, and that'll sort of highlight what we're talking about. Wanted to highlight some awesome activities are coming up.
All right, James, tell everybody who you are here.
Okay, my name is James Conway, and I'm the Economic Development Specialist for the City of Grants Pass.
Economic development. All right. What's on the horizon here? What's going to happen with our economy? What can you do to help? All those questions here. Save us.
Well, that's the great thing about my job is I actually get to go down on the ground and try to help businesses and work with them and build relationships. So, but the big thing that's on the horizon is Art Along the Rogue coming up October 6th, 7th, and 8th. And that does great things for our economy, for the city, and downtown. So,
all right. We've seen a press release that we've got everything in a row in terms of artists coming in, and all of that seems to be set right now. Is that accurate?
That is very accurate, yes.
Okay. And the city is underwriting it somewhat. Am I correct in that?
Yes. So the city is sponsoring $20,000 mm-hmm. worth of the budget. I have received about 21,000 in sponsorships from community partners.
All right, so we've got $41,000 putting towards this thing. What kind of economic impact will that generate for the city of Grants Pass, or is that an unknown?
Well, it is an unknown, but that is one thing that we are working on, and I want to collect that data so we can provide that to administration and city council, because it's very important to track. Last year, I guesstimate it was about $1 million worth of economic impact.
$1 million,
and that's unscientific, but there are some formulations, and I'm working with a partner that has a formula to work on, and that's what we came up with.
All right, how do those monies arrive in Grants Pass? Is it local money being recirculated, or is it outside money?
With last year's data, it was mainly local, so Southern Oregon, Medford, Central Point, Ashland.
So fresh money coming into the city of Grants Pass, but primarily Southern Oregon money.
Yes.
All right. Is there a way to reach out and expand that further?
Yes. And that's actually what we're doing this year. So working with our partner, Visit Grants Pass, we have radio ads up in the Eugene, Salem, just Southern Portland, all the way to the coast, on two radio stations up there. So it's going to hit 121,000 active radio listeners.
All right. Well, we appreciate radio advertising here. We highly endorse it. We've made a living for a long, long time off of radio and adequate living. But, you know, I'm not running off to Hawaii anytime soon or buying a condo there. However, what kind of outreach do we expect from that? What are those ads portraying here Grants Pass as?
Well, to plan a trip, come down and explore historic Grants Pass. I wanted to highlight that, highlight our downtown, but to come down and actually plan a trip and come see what Grants Pass has to offer, and why not come see Art Along the Rogue?
All right. Is there one benefit out there that you put out there? It says Grants Pass, put that in quotes, floated over the city, you know? What is the draw to come down to Grants Pass?
Other
than it's better than Portland and Eugene.
the historic aspect is beautiful. I mean, a lot of people appreciate a good historic smaller town. So come down and check us out.
All right. Have those ads started airing yet?
Yes. Started last week for 5 weeks.
So. Okay. Any way to measure that response so far? I mean, are hotels or motels picking up extra reservations, or do we have any feeling, any comments coming into the city?
No comments yet, but I am working with Visit Grants Pass plus other lodging partners to try to collect that data.
Right. Did the Rogue River figure into that at all in terms of something that we're talking about just downtown?
Rogue River is always part of it. So right now, it's just kind of the centerpiece, but I don't want to highlight that. I want to highlight the city itself.
All right. So we want people coming into Grants Pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, that's coming up soon, and it's always a big hit locally. There's music downtown on 5th Street and H, and it's just a great festival. So everybody enjoys it, certainly locally. But let's look long-term and what your job really is here to provide the economic development for the city. Have you been given a goal or a long-term situation that you want to meet?
Regarding the events?
Regarding what happens in economic development.
Yes. So basically, business retention and expansion is a big part. So attracting businesses, that's always a long-term goal, but also to help the existing businesses thrive and expand and hire people. Hiring is very important, getting those FTEs and personnel, so getting jobs.
All right, looking at that. How closely are you working with SoReady?
I personally am not working super close. That is the economic development manager, Dana Pierce. Mm-hmm. She works very closely with them regarding more like the traded sector. But I do meet with them and participate with meetings.
And I'm on the board also of SoReady.
Oh, all right. We're going to have to put you in a hot seat then.
And regarding SoReady, so Dana and I were meeting with a couple of their staff, Chamber, Visit Grants Pass, some community partners, kind of unofficially, but to kind of see what we can do to boost Josephine County as a whole and try to get more traded sector here.
All right. What do we need to do to boost Josephine County and the city of Grants Pass in particular?
Well, we are our industry, our industrial land is pretty scarce.
Limited.
So, yeah, it's limited. So there's a lot of challenges. So we have to be creative and kind of think outside the box and attract possibly smaller traded sectors. But it's that creativity and thinking out the box is the key.
All right. Is the limitation of land the only really hiccup to bringing businesses into Grants Pass?
It's large, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a large aspect.
All right. What about the reputation of Grants Pass right now? And I'm talking, of course, about our transient population and what's going on in the parks. Is that a negative? Is that well known out there? If we're talking to people in Portland and Eugene, are they aware of that situation?
I can't speak to that far away, but just kind of talking to community members mm-hmm. around SoReady, some partners, it does have an effect. Measure 110 seems to have an effect, but other than that, I mean, I can't speak too much more on that.
All right. With that that being said, are there other negatives? We've mentioned land. We've mentioned the transients. What about housing?
Housing, we're in a big deficit, so it's very hard to attract employees and even employers that want to start here because there's no housing inventory.
Right. Is there a way in your position for economic development to overcome those objections?
Well, housing is always a part of economic development. So just working with our housing specialists, working with administration, working with council, just trying to be creative once again. That's a big part of economic development is being creative.
Right. We've been dealing with your job pretty much as an overview of what to look for long term. Are there long term ideas on the board right now on how to overcome some of the things we've just talked about? Land is pretty much land. It's limited and it's still going to be limited. But are there other areas where we can expand and increase our economic development?
Well, tourism is a big area that we can increase economic opportunities. So that is the long term is improving our tourism, but also making it sustainable and keep it growing.
All right. Well, we'll follow that when we come back. In the meantime, I've got to take care of my own economic development here. We are a commercial radio station, and as a matter of fact, I have a couple of those here for you. Listen closely.
Mattress Lab.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you with us on the Tuesday Talk Show today. We're talking about economic development with James out of the city, Grants Pass. What are some of the positives you talk about Grants Pass? We're talking about tourism a lot. As probably our best opportunity to grow our economic area here. Can we reach out in the off months that we're just going into right now? Is this an off season right now? Is fishing winding down? Is it getting too cold to get out on the, or at least that's what we can see in the future? Is it just a seasonal tourist situation, or can we reach out for, in December and talk about it's the climate?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. that is a big goal. And one big thing to expand that off-peak is the TLT, Transient Lodging Tax Sustainable Tourism Grant that the city has put together. So basically it allows up to $5,000 for an organization or a business to put into advertising, marketing, to get it out 50 plus miles to bring people in to stay, spend money for like an event. And we've had one round and four businesses got awarded. And so far we're seeing good results.
All right. Can we outline those results, or is it confidential which businesses? Or
No, it's all public record. Let's see. Spirit of the Fair received an award. Let's see, the Chamber of Commerce, to expand their concerts in the park. Mm-hmm. And that was a big
success. Certainly a great program.
Yeah, absolutely. Cynthia's Home Sweet Home received some funding for a really cool, it's a murder mystery weekend. So basically inviting people from outside to come stay, have lunch at her place, watch the theater, but also come downtown and visit the downtown businesses where there's clues to the murder. And it's an interactive weekend, which is
That sounds like fun itself. Yeah. And yeah. Do we have a gauge on how successful those have been?
Actually, they're just being kicked off. So I don't have much data on the success yet. But during the grant process, they have to report. So we're gathering those reports.
So the outreach has to go beyond 50 miles to pull people into the area.
Yes.
All right. If I'm a business or an organization out there, a nonprofit even, who wants to take advantage of this, what kind of steps do I need to take in order to gain this grant and reach out?
It's actually really easy. So you can contact Economic Development. You can call the city or go to the city website and go to the Economic Development page, and it's right there. You just click on the thumbnail, and it'll bring up the application.
And what kind of hoops do I have to jump through?
It's really easy. The barriers are very low. Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is just fill it out and send it in. And then if it's incomplete or if we need more information, we're more than willing to reach out and gain that information.
If I gain the grant, what kind of reporting do I have to do at the end?
It's really easy. Basically, it's you got to submit a budget and then basically how many people came to your event. I mean, it's pretty simple.
All right. Yeah. We started off talking about Art Along the Rogue, and everybody's looking forward to that. It looks like we're going to have a great month for that to happen. What's the next event you're looking for the city of Grants Pass?
Yeah, after Art Along the Rogue, it is the holiday tree lighting, which we're expanding that event as well. That happens down on 5th and H Street. So looking forward to that. We are expanding that event. We're going to have it's kind of like a European style market within the Owl parking lot. So that Friday evening and the Saturdays to give people more options to be shopping for holiday gifts.
All right. Can you give me more details about the expansion?
Yeah. So include a part of the expansion is including more community partners, but also to add like a crafters market or music. So basically, it adds to the quality of life for the city that community members could come down, enjoy some music, some hot cocoa, and to kind of just be together and be a community.
All right. You mentioned it's going to be in a parking lot. It's going to be in December.
Yes.
It's going to be a little chilly. Might be a little rainy. What kind of contingency plans are put together?
Well, tents. Yeah. like pop-up tents, warmers. Mm-hmm. Last year, I brought down some heaters and some cool little like little barrels with fire in them and gas fire. Mm-hmm. It's all safe. But just bringing that stuff down to keep people warm and keep them down there.
So, all right, and the entertainment and the marketplace is all the attraction.
As of right now, yes, that is. I'm working with a partner to get that going.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about bringing the tree in and Santa's arrival and all of that going to be happening. Do we have a hard date for that?
Not a hard date. Actually, I'm going to be speaking to Aaron about that too. This year, we may start a week later.
Mm-hmm.
But. I think that's December 8th. That's the Friday.
Yeah, all right.
Approximately.
That's a little closer to Christmas. The Christmas spirit may be a little heavier there.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that. It is closer to Christmas, but also it doesn't close that street down an extra week. And plus, for downtown, the first Friday, Alive at 5 is the December 1st. So it just gives the community more activities.
Seems to fit downtown.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We'll be talking about economic development for the city of Grants Pass throughout the next half hour, the next 35, 40 minutes at any rate as we continue this morning. Let's see. Look outside. I want to make one more note about tonight. There will be some election coverage here between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. A question on the ballot this time. It'll either be a yes or a no. So we'll do that fairly quickly tonight, but there will be some coverage right here on KAJO Radio. And if you haven't voted, you still have time right up until about 8 o'clock tonight. So that's coming up right here on KAJO Radio. Let's see. Voter turnout yesterday, as of yesterday afternoon, was about 26%. So we're expecting another 15, 20% of you to get out there and vote today. In fact, everybody can. It is allowed. All right. So that's what we're looking for tonight. It's election day here in Josephine County, or certainly in the city of Grants Pass. More after this word. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Economic development with the city of Grants Pass is our topic this morning as we continue. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number to call is 541-472-1270. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, you can pose that live just by giving us a call at that number. As soon as you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue, and we'll put you on there as soon as we complete the thought that we're on. Another reminder, it's election day, and you can tune in and hear your vote count tonight here at 8 o'clock at KAJO Radio. We'll be at the courthouse live, and it should be a fairly quick coverage night. One question on the ballot, either yes or no. You'll find out here tonight. In the meantime, let's come right back into our studio talking about economic development with our city staff. And sometimes I wish that I would run a recorder during the news hour, because that's when a lot of the stuff comes out here.
We were talking a little bit during the news hour.
No doubt. Okay. We were talking about some of the things that are going to be happening with Art Along the Rogue. And let's talk about vendors, because vendors have been kind of in the background at Art Along the Rogue, and that expanded last year. And what are we looking at this year?
Well, we have approximately 45 vendors signed up. Most of them are artists themselves, hand crafters. I got a furniture maker. We got some food. So basically the point of that is to expand the event, but also to make it more like a block party, a community festival. It gives people who come down looking at the art something to do, to purchase, and also it supports entrepreneurship as well.
So. All right, and this is effectively doubling the number of vendors that we've had before, or almost?
Yeah, almost. Mm-hmm. I had 30 signed up last year, 26 showed up.
All right, and this year over 40, and you said something that caught my ear, food.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Food.
All right. Well, make my mouth water here. Do we know what food vendors are coming in?
Yes. So far, Mama D's food truck, Blazing Monkeys, Those are the two right now. There's another one that serves empanadas, which I'm pretty excited about. So to bring some cultural food down there. Horny Goat is a, so the brick and mortar Horny Goat mm-hmm. Dash Bakery are the one. Oh, and the Hall, can't forget the Hall. John is going to be doing some barbecue in the parking lot like he did last year. So there'll be a lot of food.
So yeah, we can dance the afternoon away and replenish the soul.
You'll need to do some of that dancing if you're going to eat all that food.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. What are we looking for in the future here? We've talked about Art Along the Rogue, going to bring in hopefully some people from out of town, and we've been hearing more and more about that. I'm not sure you can share anything that was talked about during the break there. Then we've got the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. What are we planning anything for the spring? Do we have another opportunity there that we haven't yet explored?
Not yet. You know, obviously, Easter's a popular one. I mean, for something like spring, I would like to, get some community, organizations, some sponsors to the table and be more than willing to help them out, help plan. And just get them organizing it.
Okay.
It would be my goal.
All right. In the spring, as I recall, sometimes it's a little tough to find a dry day.
Yes.
that might be a negative here.
It's true.
So, what other positives are you dealing with for Grants Pass right now in your outreach?
Well, let's see. Just speaking of First Fridays, mm-hmm. So we're amping those up, kind of rebranded it, and basically just trying to bring more things down. Like Candela Dance Studio came down and did an alley takeover, doing some salsa dance, some line dancing. So just bringing more activities downtown for people to, while they come down and shop and dine, they can have fun.
All right. First Friday, certainly popular throughout the summer and the warm times. But as we approach fall, and we're still in summer, folks. This is still summer, technically, until another week or two here. But as we get into the darker times and the colder times and the wetter times, what's going to happen to First Friday? Is there a point where it could go all year long, or do we need to modify something?
Well, I would like to encourage the merchants downtown to do it all year round, as consistency is very important. As of right now, the last one will be in December. So December 1st, they'll take the two months off, and then back in March, they'll start it up again.
All right, we're talking economic development here with the city of Grants Pass. Long-term plans, we just kind of touched on that real briefly. You're reaching out to people beyond our areas of influence here, trying to bring in one economic development. Well, we can't just do that through festivals, can we, or is that the plan?
No. So the festivals and events, as Aaron and I were talking earlier, it adds to the quality of life, which is very important to economic development, and can add to attracting people that would want to work here or bring a business. Other things is, you know, just kind of working with possibly council. It's offering incentives to bring business here.
In your experience so far, and I overheard this during the break, when you're talking to other people about, I've got a festival coming up, oh, I want to come down. What do they know about Grants Pass before they make that commitment? Or do you have to do any talking to people about it is the climate, here's why it's the climate?
Yeah, so I've lived in Eugene for about 18 years, Portland mm-hmm. for a couple, and everybody has heard of Grants Pass, but they don't really know about Grants Pass. So
what have they heard?
Not much. They're mm-hmm. they're like, well, what's Grants Pass? They think it's just a small little town. So,
all right,
nothing negative or bad.
Just a small little town, getting bigger by the day. It seems like when you're with the traffic at any rate.
Yeah. So a part of the long term, adding to the events, but also to highlight our culture. We are the cultural hub of Southern Oregon. I mean, I've been claiming that since I've been here. We have so much public art. We have a great committee on public art. They're citizen volunteers appointed by council. And they're very active. So getting public art out there, we have some good organizations like artists. We have so many artists in Grants Pass and Illinois Valley. So Josephine County is very lucky in that aspect.
Okay. Reaching out beyond city limits, of course, is the Rogue River and the caves. Any of that enter into it? Is that part of our culture here? Is that part of our attraction?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So one of my jobs is to administer the Downtown Welcome Center. So we cover all Josephine County, but, the caves is huge. So basically my staff down there, contacts the caves, make sure they're open. So we're not just telling visitors, hey, go to the caves and then they're closed. So, even just going to the coast, going to the Illinois Valley, going to Cave Junction, visiting, certain spots, certain businesses in Cave Junction, just, it's a mutual, benefit relationship by just, you know, mentioning those.
Right. There is a negative out there somewhere, in terms of, it seems like almost every summer there is a time when we're impacted by fires. Is that entering into any of the things that you have to deal with?
Yes. So
is that part of our reputation?
Yes, unfortunately. It's become, the fifth season, so to speak. This year I was actually looking at the numbers and we have been slower, by visitors. So we do track visitors coming into the Welcome Center and, we are down the numbers.
All right. Is that, can you put the dates right to it? Is it the smoke that keeps people aware of the fire or the publicity?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely the fire and the smoke. So, even last year we were impacted. So it's usually that, September, late August, September area that when the smoke rolls in.
All right.
Is affecting us.
Right. Thank you very much. Obviously, we're talking about economic development and how to attract more people and more dollars to the area. And we'll continue that conversation right after this.
Hi.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show. We're talking economic development here with the city of Grants Pass. All right. Our economic development director, wave your magic wand. What do you want to have happen to really make Grants Pass's economy boom and still maintain the flavor of this town?
Well, that's
a tough one, isn't it? Wave your magic wand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I've been in the position for about 15 months. So, I mean, I'm still developing professionally. I'm going to conferences. So just kind of educating myself to help improve my position and the city. But magic wand, boy. Employment. I would love to attract couple big boys, big girls in the town to get people jobs and to expand housing.
So, all right. Yeah. Are there targets in the industrial area that you're looking at? And I'm sure there'd be a lot of concern about what kind of businesses came in.
Yeah. We don't have specific targets, but that's working with So Ready will help identify those. But in Grants Pass and in Josephine County, food processing is real big. So we're thinking that if we can attract a sector that can complement another sector, that would be beneficial. So.
Okay. Food processing, what do we have here that would supply that industry?
We have the Applegate Valley, so we got lots of good farms.
Lots of grapes.
Lots of grapes. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
So we've got lots of those being taken care of already.
Yeah, orchards and Herring David has some orchards out here. So yeah.
All right. You mentioned So Ready again, and I'm going to pull a representative to So Ready back into your hair. And if you sit on the board, and the county commissioners have recently opted out of joining or paying for So Ready's participation in Josephine County. So Ready came back with a general statement saying it was going to affect what they've done. Can you give us some insight on there on what So Ready can really do for Josephine County and to that end, spilling out into the county?
Well, this has been a discussion that has occurred both between So Ready and some representatives of Josephine and Jackson County Board of Commissioners. Mm-hmm. It's a general concern and comment and maybe potential change in direction request for So Ready. So Ready is there to focus on big picture economic development. Traded sector was the primary focus when it was first created by Josephine County and Jackson County and some others. And they are the primary contact with Business Oregon. And when a business comes in, we sometimes don't have a clue what business is it. It's given a fake name, and they're coming in and they're looking around at the community for available building sites, available buildings that are in square footage and acreage and all those kind of things. And they have their primary contact with SoReady. And so they're there trying to bring in the traded sector work. What some of the Board of Commissioners have been talking about, at least at the SoReady board level, is we would like to have more economic development focused on not just traded sector, but general economic development growth within both counties. Now, SoReady, in its bylaws and the way it's set up, is not really geared for that. It doesn't mean it can't do that, but there would need to be, and there will be, I think, future discussions at the SoReady board meetings to what that might look like in the future and what that would take to get us there. And having an engagement with the membership and to make sure that we are hitting the target, and we're maybe there's going to need to be some changes and some flexing from SoReady. That's yet to be determined.
All right, so we're still in an area of flux, is what I'm hearing, with SoReady. I think part of the commissioner's concern was certainly fiduciary. They're concerned about a shrinking budget, as I know the city is facing those same situations. And although SoReady dues are in the thousands of dollars, in the total picture is not very much.
Yeah, I think the city, I think our membership for SoReady is around $26,000, $28,000 mm-hmm. per year. I don't recall offhand what the county, Josephine County's membership is.
I want to say it's similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think similar is safe.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's not a huge amount, and they've done some great things in the past in getting businesses in and helping businesses grow. But that was really business retention and growth was something that was discussed of maybe additional work that SoReady could do.
All right. Aside from SoReady, I know business retention has been a great deal of topic in the Grants Pass City Council right now. How is the city working towards business retention here?
So as James mentioned, we have a lot of great grant programs. We've given out hundreds of thousands of dollars to help incentivize private investment. And that's the key. If we could put in a small percentage of public dollars to incentivize a large private investment, that's a big win for the community because it will maintain jobs, it will create jobs, it will grow the confidence of those businesses within our community. So that is something that is important and that we have a proven record of being able to provide grants for those businesses to grow and become even more successful. So we do that through, that's one of the things that City Council does to help incentivize business retention and growth.
All right. Moving back to James. What people need to do, what do people need to take away from today's program when they're talking economic development, or if they have an idea or a concern? Do they come to you? What should people know about your department and your job?
Yeah, definitely contact myself or Dana Pierce. What we can do is just improve outreach and engagement, building that trust with public and private sector together is the biggest key. So customer service, I like to highlight customer service as essential in this position.
All right. So your customer out there is the whole city.
Absolutely.
Yep. You've got a pretty big customer base out there. All right. How do you reach them besides this talk show?
Well, I'm usually walking. I'm so my primary focus right now is the downtown core. What we've done in the past is I've walked down Rogue River Highway right here locally. Dana and I have put on a listening session for the Rogue River Highway businesses. We have plans to do it on the Redwood Highway section. So definitely not focused just on downtown, just because we're all part of Grants Pass. So, we are making it, a point to reach out to other businesses.
So you're reaching out to every business owner that you can get in contact with. Is that what I'm hearing?
I like to set my goals high. So absolutely. I mean, even if you just have a question about anything about the city or planning department or something, contact me and I'll find you the answer.
What are their concerns?
Concerns, the big one is the unhoused population that I'm hearing. And just kind of a general economic slowdown.
All right. Do they have a suggestion that seems overwhelming that everybody seems to come up with? that you can share.
Well, you know, I think it's just businesses just need to kind of just be creative. I mean, I've said that word a couple times, right? I mean, especially in a larger economic downturn, is how can you evolve to meet the needs?
All right. And if you have suggestions on how we can evolve, give James a call. You want to put out a phone number or an email address?
Yeah. My direct phone number is 541-450-6071. And my email is jconway, that's J-C-O-N-W-A-Y, at Grants Pass, Oregon, that's all spelled out, .gov. And, yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Aaron, I've got about 2 minutes left here. What do people need to take away from this? What do you need to hear from the public?
Well, we would love to hear what your concerns, aspirations are for the community from the public. I think that's extremely important. As I mentioned, I think on every show, we are at our best when we hear from you, and we greatly appreciate your input, whether it be through an email, a phone call, personal contact when we're out in the community. Both council and staff are here to serve you and to serve this great community. So really excited about this. This topic today, I think we do a good job of economic development and promoting things and providing a resource for the community. Looking forward to the Welcome Center and the facelift of the Welcome Center that'll be happening here shortly, and the additional restrooms that'll be there in the community.
Are both loos installed now?
The second loo is being installed right now.
As we speak.
It's not quite there yet.
Okay.
But yeah, and just the things that we are a part of to help build community with our partners, like the band shell that'll be happening this next spring, which will help in the concerts in the park, to our water treatment plant and making sure that we have infrastructure established for economic development is a key. That's one of our key points there's so many pillars associated with infrastructure for the community. It's not just your utility. It's not just water, sewer, transportation, stormwater, but it's housing. It's so much more. It's parks. All of that has such a positive benefit. And I'm just glad that we are part of building that community along with all of our community partners and nonprofits that help us.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Aaron. And James, good to meet you again, and glad to have you. You want a final shot here?
No. Thank you for your time.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for listening. We'll remind you it is Election Day, and there are various places that you can drop off your ballot. I don't have a list here in front of me. My favorite is right behind the library. There's a drive-by box there, and it's easy access. You can take it all the way into the clerk's office if you so desire, right up until 8 o'clock tonight. So vote if you haven't. Once again, turnout was about 26% as of about 5 o'clock last night. Then you can hear your vote count right here on KAJO Radio tonight, live outside the courthouse at about just before 8 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock when we get a final decision. Yes or no on the recall. You're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and all around the world on KAJO.com. Once again, this has been the Tuesday Talk Show. I want to thank you very much for listening and invite you to stay tuned for news coming up from the Salem Radio Network.